wonderful in every way. And Lord, I'm nothing, you're everything. And Lord, I'm weak this morning. Lord, I am not able to preach by myself. Lord, I need your touch. I need you to touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me. Please, oh God, cleanse me that I might walk where you want me to walk just now. I fail you miserably. And Lord, I want to walk the way you want me to walk this morning. Talk the way you want me to talk. And Father, may I give as you've given me. Lord, we thank you for goodness and grace and many answers to prayer here this morning. We thank you for it all. Now, Lord, we need you. Lord, speak to every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. You know, there's many times that we use things that's not what it's made for. Some of you guys maybe can humor me a little bit. We have toolboxes at home and we have hammers. Everything in the toolbox is a hammer. Could I get amen from all the men? Everything. If you have a crescent wrench, it's a hammer. If you have a hammer, it's a hammer. If you have a crescent wrench, it's a hammer. If you have a bar, it's a hammer. And then you have the multi-purpose tool. You have the screwdriver, that's a screwdriver. And then it's a chisel. And then it's a pry bar. And it's amazing what we can find in a toolbox with just a handful of tools. That's not how they're made, but that's how they're used. That's how they're used. And women have the same thing. You know, if you go in the kitchen, there's little gadgets that the ladies use. That's really not what it's used for, but maybe that's all they had or that's what's convenient. When I growed up, we may not be able to have a can opener. I'd watch Mommy take a sharp knife and stick it on top of a can of milk and pop the handle with a sharp knife and open the can of milk. But anyway, even though they may have been a can opener in the drawer, but the knife was in her hand, so why waste time going over to the drawer when you can use? So we're all guilty of using things. Everybody understand for what it was not made for? Everybody understand that point? Well, can I tell you, it's the same way with us on the Lord. The Lord has made us a certain way, but we don't let Him use us for the way He has made us. We're not used that way. We can be, but because of time or because of our own invention. You know, our Christian life a lot of times is of our own invention. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You know, we have our own thoughts about what being a Christian is. We have our own thought of what a Christian life is. And we have a Bible that tells us, but it takes too much time to read it. So I'd rather go on my opinion because I know as much as God does because, you know, I'm here, he's not, he's there, I'm here. Yeah. And so, I mean, we're living in a day where it's worse. We're living in a day of arrogancy and pride. And pride, it's always been, but it seems like it's more evident. It's more open. And I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church house. And, you know, we're self-righteous, judgmental, racist. You can just keep on. I'm talking about the church. I'm not preaching to the beer joint this morning. I'm preaching, or shouldn't be. I'm preaching to the church house. All right? And I think sometimes we just get messed up and we forget some basic things. And this morning we're going to try to go back to some basic things if we can. Maybe look, if you want a title, I don't know if it'll be, it's hard to tell how we'll end up preaching it, but you know, just the reason for things, the reason for us, the reason for us, the reason for it all, maybe, and what God maybe wants from us this morning. I marvel at the Lord and the Spirit of God and how things go with the singing and I do not discuss with Rick his Sunday school lessons. I don't micromanage the Sunday school. I don't never know how he's going to teach, what he's going to teach, and if he's going to have one verse or 100 verses. We don't go over that. But I marvel at the verses that was read and used this morning. Brother Clark usually just leads the singing. He read scripture this morning. Definitely didn't tell him what to read. Every now and then I will tell the singers a song to sing, but normally I leave that up to them and the Lord, what they feel like they should sing, if I need a certain song or something. But I'm thankful that how the Holy Spirit works, even in the prayers. I don't know how many, you know, when people pray sometimes, I'm not being sarcastic or judgmental, I'm just telling you how we are. You know, when people, you call someone to pray, there's some people listen to the praying. Some people even pray with them. Then some people, that's the time to go to the bathroom. And then sometimes that's the time to get a mint out of your purse and out of your pocket. That's the time to put your songbook or make sure your Bible's right when somebody's praying, because you're really not interested in the praying. Yeah, I mean, that's the way we are, you know. It's time to whisper, time to tell somebody something about, did you see so-and-so, and somebody's praying, you know. But we really don't, but I try to listen to the praying when I can hear it, and I marvel at what was said in some prayers this morning. Now, I'm going to say all this because there's going to be some repeats on some things, and I know the time. I know it's at 1 minute to 12. And that means nothing to me. Okay? So I just want y'all to know. Now, it's going to mean something to y'all. Because I've ended this message many times. So you preached a little long this morning, didn't you? Well, how long was long? How long am I allowed to preach? Just thought I'd ask. How long am I allowed to preach? Yeah. So if I preach 5 minutes or an hour and a half, I mean, I'm not planning on. I just want to try to get our minds why we come to church and what we do, and there's reasons for it all. We come to enjoy. We come and this is not to build up Miss Hope, but Miss Hope was glad she was here when she got out of the car. If she was in the parking lot this morning. She was glad when she opened the door. She was glad. But see, that's not true. I talked to her yesterday. She was glad yesterday.
Yeah.
How many was glad yesterday that they was going to get to come today?
Amen.
Was you that glad? Was you shouting yesterday because you was going to get to come to church today? I mean, was you so excited yesterday that you was beside yourself yesterday because you're going to get to come to church today? See, we miss a lot of things. And there are reasons for things. Okay? And that's no reflection. I'm just bringing things to our mind this morning. All right, Miss Hope, she's no different than anybody else. She's a sinner like anybody else and everything. But Miss Donna's back there praising the Lord. You know, I don't know about y'all, but if I just had my eye removed with cancer, it'd be hard for me to lift my hands and praise the Lord a couple of days later. I don't know about y'all. It might be just a little bit difficult. Huh? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I'm just telling you it might be a little harder. Sometimes we forget the reasons for things. We forget our purpose. We take so much for granted. And you know, I was told to someone yesterday, and they asked about Miss Jean. I said, well, she was at church. And I said, no, she was. I said, yeah, Miss Jean was at church last time. She said, she was at a surgery. I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Now, does she do that? Does she do that to show off? No, she doesn't, because she wants to be here. Sometimes we forget the goodness of God, the great things of God. You know, I was mentioning David and Gwen a while ago, and again, nobody wants no attention brought, okay? But do you realize driving 100 miles to church one way is not easy? But then I look, and you know, we run a bus 48 miles. Every Sunday, from Surly to here. We run a bus from Glen Jean, Mount Hope to here. Do you know that's not easy? That's not. If you've never done it, it would be good for you to maybe to get on the bus with Greg and Maria or Groundhog and just ride. Don't have to do this, go ride. Get up when they get up and then stay on the bus till they get home. People have been meeting on Sunday afternoon. We had class there a couple of times, and I remember how it was when I drove the bus for Fett County in the morning, and here come Groundhog about 3:10. Yep. He's coming in on the bus and runs, grabs him a McDonald's sandwich, and eats in his truck because he don't have time to do nothing else to get back. And I mean, sometimes we forget the reasons and everything that goes on. People driving 100 mile to church one way, 50 mile one way. It's sometimes things is hard. And we keep doing it. I don't want us to lose the mindset. Is everybody okay this morning? And there's reasons for all this. And there ought to be some things that motivate us. And I appreciate what everybody does. You may not have to drive but a half a mile. You might be able to fall out of your bed and roll here. I mean, that's wonderful if you can do that. You understand if you don't do what everybody else does. Everybody's important. Everybody's necessary. All right? Everybody don't shout out loud. There's some people, I think of an old man, Dennis will remember him, Jean will, Rufus Dempsey. You remember Rufus? Rufus was out there in the country on Saturday Road, and he gave it to him. He talked real fine. He said, "I'm so excited." That was it. "I am so excited." That was as much as he had. He couldn't get nothing else out. Remember that? He would say, "Oh, I'm happy." And you wouldn't have noticed. Some people like that. They give it all they got, but that don't mean anybody's wrong or right. I'm just telling you, sometimes we forget the reasons for it all and what moves us and what drives us and what brings us to the house of God. And all of that this morning, I believe, may be just because of the Lord. How about back to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 this morning? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, Brother Clark read it. Says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Do you know that's the reason for everything this morning? That everything that was made and created, it was created for the Lord. That He done it for His pleasure. He said, "I know what I'm going to make." It's just like now. Sometimes I'll make a cake or I'll make a pie or something. And you know how come I do it? Because that's what I want. I just do it because I want to enjoy it. You know, every now and then, Cheryl Ann will, she's got this one dish thing she makes. She'll say, I got to have something sweet. And I'll hear her rattling. Here she'll come out, and she has this single, because I'm not a big chocolate guy, so she makes it for her, and it's just in one little dish, and it's a whole bunch of chocolate, something she makes just real quick, and she makes it because that's what she wanted, and it pleased her. And she sits, and y'all know how she eats. She gets it all over and eats it, and she enjoys it. And that's the way she is. But it was for her pleasure. And we forget sometimes that you this morning and me and everything that's made was created to please the Lord and for the Lord's glory and for His praise. It was that we praise Him. You mean something to the Lord this morning, and He made you different, and He made you look different, and a different that you might bring Him glory and praise. You're not trash. You're not junk. You're not dirt. You're not worthless in the respect that He's made you for a purpose to bring Him glory.
Amen.
You know that? Now, that ain't just the only verse that does it. If I look over in Genesis chapter 1, and we can read many verses like this. I just want to read one. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 31. It says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything that He made, you know what He said? That's good. That's good. You know how come he made it? Because he wanted to. You know why he made it? Because he done it to please him. He made it to please himself. Not out of pride to say, look what I made. He made it and he said, that's good. That's good. That's very good. That's very good. He made us to please him. Cheryl Ann sung the song many times, for I was born to serve the Lord. She sung it before. We were born to please. We're born to serve him. You know, sometimes we want to get off in a corner and say it that we don't matter. You do matter. Now, there's others this morning that may not put you up high, and they may not give you the time of day. But that's people, because we're self-righteous and heathen. But the Lord, you mean something to the Lord.
Amen.
You mean something to the Lord. Do you understand that? You are important. You say, well, I don't have no talent. That's okay. Yeah, but I can't sing. Yeah, you can. He give you a song. It just might not be the same key we sing in. Okay? Everybody understand that? I mean, I've heard some sing that they could sing in any note, and then I've heard some sing, and I wondered what the note was. But yet it was still good singing. Right? But you're important. I want to try to keep that in your mind. And that's the reason God made you. There's a reason for everything this morning. But then we see the course of man and the way man is. And do you realize that everything that he made was good? That's what we just read. But you know that man's the only thing that's disobedient. Do you know that every bird and every bee and every frog does exactly what they're supposed to do? Do you know that? A deer don't say, white oak again. A deer don't say that. You know? If in case you don't know, deer love white oak. Right? You know, a frog don't say the same old water. They don't say that. Yeah? But man does. Man says same old bread. It's like the fella, you know, he was eating his lunch, and he said, bologna again. I'm sick of this bologna. I'm sick of this bologna in my bucket. Man beside him said, well, won't you tell your wife to fix you something? I said, you leave my wife out of it. I pack my own bucket. Sometimes you can't please nobody. Can't even please yourself. You understand? That's the way we are. And then we're disobedient. All of us, I don't care how good you are, you're still disobedient. You're still disobedient. But we ought not be. We ought not be. But we are. And even though, besides all that, the Lord still wants us. The Lord wants you this morning. The Lord wants you. Now, we'll get to the message here in a minute. We're not even down to the message. This is just all thoughts, all right? Everybody still okay? Now, hang with me now. When we think about man and we think about how the Lord wants man, he made man. And now, I know there's going to be horses in heaven because they're going to come in on white horses then. At least there'll be one. I know there's going to be a big white one. I don't know what all the other colors are. All right? Rick says they're going to be Tennessee Walkers. I believe they'll be better than that. They'll be smoother than a Walker. They'll be smoother than that. Huh? You know, Tennessee Walker's smooth, and so's a mule. They're lateral too, Rick. All right, don't forget that. All right? Now, but what I want you to understand, dogs and cats don't go to heaven, and hamsters and birds and things like that. They don't go to heaven when they die. But God made a way that we could be with him because we're so special. You understand that that's how special we are this morning, that God made us to please him and God made us to be with him. And I want us to think about a few things this morning that he expects, and there's some simplicity here, and then we'll get to the message. The message is really short, really is. He asked us to do one thing. He made everything He made everything to please him, made us to please him. We rebel, we buck up, we do our own thing. He made a way from Genesis. We read, they sung about the last blood this morning in Sunday school, and he had lambs and goats and all the sacrifices. He had everything laid out, and then he had Christ die, and the last blood that was shed was Christ's blood, that we might have a perfect atonement, a perfect price paid for our sins in Christ. And then he asks you to do this. In Matthew chapter 16, I want you to think about how simple this is. Matthew chapter 16, and I think we could probably read it 15 times just right quick. We're not going to, but we could probably read 15 different times. It says this in Matthew chapter 16, and let's see here. How about we just read verse 24? It said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what?
Follow me.
He just wants you to follow him. Is that complicated? Is that complicated to follow him? Yeah. But see, if I was to ask you to follow me right where you're at right now, if I was going to ask you to follow me right where you're at, all right, and I asked Raymond, I said, Raymond, out there, come on, follow me. You know, Raymond's going to have to first get around there, all y'all in his way. Because there's a lot of stuff between me and Raymond. He's come back around. The only reason I've chosen him, he's way back here in the back. All right? But there's a lot of stuff in between. Now, he can want to follow me all he wants, but he's going to have to come around all of you to follow me.
Come on.
Yep. Everybody understand that? Just right simple. Right simple. The one thing that the Lord asks us to do is follow him, and we've got so much between us and him that it keeps us from doing the one thing that he asks us to do. Follow him. Now, all these other things we do, he allows us to do. He allows us to work, build houses, have fun. He allows us to recreate and do all these things that we do. He allows us to do that, but that ain't what he asks us to do. What he asked us to do was the following. And that's okay. But we put all this other stuff in between us, and all of our time is spent on everything that's between us instead of what he asked us to do. Because he asked us to follow him. In fact, he said, if you'll seek me first, all these other things will be added unto you.
Yes.
If you'll seek me first. You know? But we don't seek him first. We seek him with things in between us. Just a thought. Okay? But yet he provided everything. Are we still all right this morning? That's what he wants. Now, he don't just want us to follow him, although that is the main thing. He said to follow me. And you know, everybody that Jesus went to like that, he'd come by and said, how about following me? He walked by Matthew. Matthew was sitting there to receive the customs. He said, follow me. But he went following. He came by James and John, follow me. He came by this and follow me. He healed this and follow me. He didn't ask him to go do many mighty miracles. He didn't say, give me. He said, just follow me. Just follow me.
Amen.
But you know, it's hard to follow when there's a pile of stuff in between. Am I right? Now keep that in your mind. But then, in John chapter 14, verse 3, it says, and if I go, Jesus speaking, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, he wants us to be with him. He wants us to follow him, and he wants us to be with him. Does that make sense to anybody? I don't know why he would want us, but he does. Right? But he wants you, everybody, he wants you to be with him.
Right.
Ain't that amazing? Yeah. And you say, well, I can't do that. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to follow him, and he wants you to be with him. And he's going to receive you into himself. That's just what he wants.
That's right.
You know why? Because you were made to bring him honor and glory and praise, and for his pleasure you were made. And after he made everything, he said, and it was very good. We still okay? But see, that ain't all. Now, to make sure that we could follow him, and to make sure that he could receive us to himself, then in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came to give us life because we wasn't alive. We were dead in our sins. So he made a way that you could follow him and be with him. Ain't that amazing what he done? Does that not sound like a wonderful guy? He's a wonderful Savior, ain't he? He's a wonderful God. You can't beat him this morning. Now we're just building up to something. Just hang with me now. All right? Because of all that. But then, because of all that, maybe, just maybe, there ought to be something to give back. I believe the psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What do you have this morning? Just what do you have? Now, everybody close their eyes. Now, look at your house in your mind. Look at your house. You got a nice house? Now, let's go through the front door. You got carpet or hardwood? You got a nice chair? Let's go through. Is it warm, cool? Warm in the winter, cool in the summer. Let's go over and open the refrigerator. You got anything in the refrigerator? Open your pantry. You got anything in your pantry? Open your cellar. You got anything in your cellar? Huh? You got any beans canned up or tomatoes? Let's go over and open our deep freeze. You got any meat? You got any corn? Any beans? You got any berries? You got anything in there? I just wonder, do you have anything? Because now you look at me now. Do you have anything at all this morning? Huh? I mean, we go out, John, and we put a couple seeds in the ground, and then go out, John, a couple months later, and we're getting squash and zucchinis and tomatoes and peas and potatoes and ears of corn and cucumbers and onions and lettuce and radishes and beets and my goodness, we got. And then we say, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I've got so much, I've got to go give it away. We've got so much, we can't even use it. Huh?
Amen.
Anybody here got a dollar in their pocket? Anybody got a dollar in their pocket? If you got a dollar in your pocket, hold your hand up. You got a dollar in your pocket? Huh? Huh? You got a dollar in your pocket? You didn't spend all of it, did you? Bills didn't take all of it, did it? Got a dollar left over? Got a dollar left over? You done all that you need to do and you still got a dollar in your pocket? Do you understand how much he's given? Huh? Do you understand that? Now can we give you the message real quick? Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Just hold on this morning. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's start at verse 22. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. For there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony is set to seal that God is true. For whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things in his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Go back up to verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. See, I started with the title, The Reason for It All. The reason for it all. The reason that he made everything. The reason that he done everything. The reason that he's provided everything. The reason that he's provided the blood to save you. The reason that he takes you when you come to him. The reason that he asks you to follow. The reason that he wants you to receive himself. He wants you to give him glory. He wants you to decrease. That he might increase in your life. Okay? Now, if I was to ask you the challenging question, are you living to increase him or decrease him? Are you living to increase him or decrease him? Now, John the Baptist is over here baptizing. Now, he's already been by the river, and Christ come, and he baptized Christ. And he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew who he was. He was the forerunner. He knew he was coming. He knew who he was when he saw him. And he's telling everybody about him. The Jews are coming to him. He's telling them the law ain't going to work. You're going to have to bring fruit for repentance. You're going to have to quit the way you're living and quit the way you're believing and follow what I'm preaching to you. And then here comes Jesus. He's doing the same thing. The disciples are doing the same thing. And there's always a ruckus. There's always a ruckus when one's doing one thing and one's doing another. Just like they was right here. And they come and said, John, does that not bother you?
Yeah, come on.
Does that not bother you because they're going to Jesus and not going to you?
Right. Yeah, come on.
Now, why would they even think such a thing? Does that bother you? Let me ask you this morning. Does it bother you when somebody else gets patted on the back and you don't? Does it bother you when somebody gets to do something and you don't? We still okay? See, that's the time we're living in. Where it's all about us. And not about others are not about the Lord. You know? When somebody sings, who do we give the glory to? Boy, that was great singing. But you know, we rarely ever say, boy, y'all sung about my great Savior.
Oh, my.
Who took the glory? Boy, that was great preaching. No, it was, boy, you sure told us about our great God. Somebody else is getting an increase. And he's getting a decrease. Are we still okay? Are we still? Well, there's three things. Three things I want to call your attention to real quick this morning. Real quick. We'll call your attention to three things that we can do to increase him. Because that's the reason for it all. All right? So I thought that would be better. The reason for it all would be better than three things to increase the Lord. I thought that would be a better title. We okay? Is everybody listening? Well, the first thing is, you're going to have to know who he is. You're going to have to know who he is. See, I'm afraid we're living in a time we really don't know who the Lord is. We got our own vision of who the Lord is. We've got our vision that the Lord is good to everybody. Well, He is. But that He looks over all of our sin. It don't matter how we live. It don't matter what anybody does. That He's a big, great God. But that's not the God of the Bible. There's a right and a wrong. I can't get over the other Sunday morning when Brother Rick taught about the right way. Everybody listen to me this morning. Now, this was the best illustration I've ever saw and ever heard, I believe, in all the teaching that I've heard and preaching that I heard, when he laid up there and said, right there is the line, and anything on that side, you're away from it. Whether you're way over there or right here, you're still off. I don't think there was anything any plainer than that line right there. But we don't know who He is. See, we got our imagination, our mind run that he's almost our size. That He's just a God that, well, yeah, I know He created everything, but he's like this. No. Just because He put on a robe of flesh and walked among men for 30-some years, that did not change who God is. For God sits high, and His feet set on the earth as a footstool, and He is the God of the universes. That's who He is. And He's holy, and He's pure, and He's righteous, and He's right all the time. He's perfect. He does not make mistakes because He can't make mistakes. Because He's holy. Huh? And John knew who He was. He said, he that had the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. I'm not Him. It's not hurting my feelings that Jesus is getting the attention because I'm not Him. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus this morning. He is precious. He is worthy. They sung about Him. They sung the song y'all sung about Him this morning. It was wonderful because it only magnified the name of Christ.
Amen.
And sometimes we lose sight of who He is. We lose sight of Him as the Lord. Are we still okay? We lose sight that He's the Lord. Did you hear me? I believe, now, if I'm wrong on this, I'll come back and repent, but I believe over 3,000 times in the New Testament, in over 3,000 verses, there it mentions Him, Lord. Mentions Jesus as Lord. But we don't want Him as Lord. Man don't want Him as Lord. They only want Him as Savior. Mankind only wants to save from hell, from their sin. But they want no authority over Him.
Yeah.
And Lord means authority and ruler.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to run to Christ.
Come on.
As Savior, keep me out of hell. And I'll get saved today and go get drunk tomorrow. Just keep me this way and I'll live. No. We don't want no authority that has rules in a way.
Right.
Huh? And I'm afraid that's why we don't know Him. We don't know who He is. We call on Him as a Savior, but we don't call on Him as Lord.
Amen.
But yet the Bible says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
There you go.
We forget that. So I believe the first thing to increase Him, and that's what John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. I believe this morning is you got to know who He is. Huh? How about 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3. We're almost done. Just hang with me. Don't go to sleep. Don't get fidgety. Huh? It's okay. It's okay. We're coming out beep, beep, buzzer, and we're tired and we're going into overtime. And the crowd here, yay, 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 come on. Come on. Come on, yay, yay. Man, it's exciting. We're right at the wire. Come on. Come on. You'll do it over a blasted ball. Do it over Jesus this morning. Huh? Come on. Come on. Man. Man. There's going to be one. There's going to be two overtimes. Man, them benches are hard. My hemorrhoids are hurting. It's snowing. It's raining. No, it's not. It's cool. You're comfortable. Huh? Don't lose thought. We're going to increase, not decrease. Huh? I'm not being sarcastic. I'm telling you the way we are. Huh? I said, listen, I went to Illinois whitetail hunting with a stent in one kidney and two kidney stones in the other. And went and sat on a tree stand from 5:30 in the morning until after dark at night to try to kill a deer that I never saw after paying $2,000 to do it. And said, man, I had a great trust. Passed out in the field, coming back for him to pick me up from where the kidney stone hurt me so bad. Surely I can sit another minute in the church.
Amen.
Rick. Huh? Be okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify, and that sanctify, what does it mean? It's to set apart for the Lord, to set apart for His glory, to be different, right? But sanctify the what? Where at? Can I tell you, I'm afraid there's too many don't know Him, of who He is.
Amen.
They're coming to the church house, carrying a Bible, singing a song, but don't know Him as Lord. Huh? Can I tell you, that's the first thing you're going to have to do to increase Him. Is you're going to have to put Him where He belongs. Now, can I tell you, you don't put Him nowhere. He's already Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. You're going to have to acknowledge Him in your own heart.
Amen.
Huh? That's what you're going to have to do. We still okay? That's a thought this morning. And then the second thing, maybe we ought to do what He does. He must increase, I must decrease. You know, one of the best ways to bring glory or praise or I don't know what the other word would be. One of the greatest compliments is to imitate somebody. Do you know that? You know, when you got these impersonators and they talk like somebody else, it's not to down them, it's to show them, to lift them up. You know? Now, we'll be sarcastic and make fun of somebody. But what the true meaning of it is, an impersonation is praise.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
So, if I want to give Him the most praise, then act like Him. How about that? Do you know, to bring my daddy praise, if I was obedient and done what my daddy said, then when people come up and say, hey, are you boy's boy? Now, daddy's a little ornerier than most kids, so they said, are you Bill's boy? That was Papa. And I said, no, I'm boy's. They said, oh, okay. But if I said, are you kin to Holly? I said, he's an uncle. Oh, okay. Because Holly was ornerier. You understand my point here. Because they wondered if I was going to act like them.
That's right. Yeah.
Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
See, I'm supposed to be acting like him. Huh? We still okay?
Yeah.
How about know who he is and do how he does? How about we start... this is always a wonderful place to start. How about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How about we increase Him by learning to forgive like He forgives? Huh? How about we start forgiving one another instead of holding it over? You hold anything over anybody? Huh? Having problems turning loose? Huh? Well, you're not increasing him. You're decreasing him. John said, what I feel don't matter. He said, I'm the best man, he's the bridegroom. He's the groom, I'm just the best man, I'm just going to cheer him on. He must increase, I must decrease. You got anything you're holding on to this morning? Huh? Let me tell you how you know whether or not you're holding on to it. If when the person's name is mentioned, you still get mad. When it still affects your emotion, then you're still carrying it. You with me? When it's still rubbing you wrong, there's a problem. And people said, amen. How about Colossians chapter 3? See, a lot of these reasons why we ain't got no joy. Because we've been trying to increase instead of him. All right, Colossians chapter 3, how about verse 13? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Huh? How about forgiving? How about loving one another? Remember that 8 weeks of preaching on love? I don't know if that helped us or hurt us. We ain't been right since I preached it. John 15, how about verse 12? John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now that's just what Jesus said. Do as he does. Forgive others. Love others. Huh? But can I tell you, that ain't all. I can increase the Lord. He must increase. I must decrease by forgiving and loving. How about, you want to go a little further? Yeah, Mark, I want to go a little further. Well, let's go a little further then. Okay, how you want me to do it? Well, let's look over in the Bible. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto man. No, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I tell you, you get it in a book and that'll increase the Lord. It'll increase him in your life. It'll increase him around others. Forgive and love. Hey, we still okay? And then I'm going to give you the third one real quick. You're only going to the piano. All right. They're getting ready to score a touchdown. We ain't going to have to go but one quarter overtime. Know who he is. Do as he does. Now listen to me. Everybody look at me. This is so basic and so simple. Is not what I said simple? Is not what I preached this morning? Is that about as basic as you can get? But you know we don't do it. Huh? You know, it's hard to beat. It's hard to beat the biscuit recipe on the back of a Hudson Cream Flour Bay. It's just a basic biscuit. But you know what everybody wants to do? Brother Greg mentioned the other night, I ain't said nothing to him about it. They all the time want to add mayonnaise and all kinds of stuff to biscuits and all that other stuff. But if you just make a regular old biscuit, you can't beat it. I ain't never known anybody just throw an old regular biscuit in the trash can. Huh? You know, we all the time want to add the stuff. If we just go ahead and do the basics, we'll be completely satisfied. You can't beat an old biscuit, whether it's hot or cold. We still okay. The third thing this morning, real quick, is we need to become people of prayer. We need to become people of prayer. We need to know who He is. We need to do what He done. And then we need to become people of prayer. And you say, well, where's your scripture for it? Well, the only thing that disciples asked Jesus to do, don't teach us to preach, don't teach us to teach us to pray.
That's right.
Jesus didn't say to pray, He said when you pray. Huh? When Jesus went there to the garden, I'm giving you the scripture, I mean, y'all know them. Jesus went to the garden and He said, can you not watch and pray with me for an hour? Huh? You know the same man that couldn't watch and pray for an hour fished all night and a few chapters later. Y'all know that, don't you? The same guy that couldn't pray all night, couldn't pray for an hour fished all night.
That's right.
We need to be men of prayer. We need to be women of prayer. And this is why. Now, stay with me now. Stay with me now. We'll give you these things real quick. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, He must increase, I must decrease. When I truly become a person of prayer. Now, listen to me this morning. I'm trying to help us. We'll become selfless. If you develop a life of prayer, you'll become selfless. You can't be selfish and stay in prayer. You'll increase the Lord. You'll become submissive. Because you'll start doing what He says to do. Now, if you're selfish, you ain't been praying. If you're doing your own thing, you ain't been praying.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? And you'll become satisfied. If you develop a life of prayer, you're going to be satisfied with what's going on around you. You're not going to be wanting everything. See, your prayer life is going to change from wanting all the goodies until where you just want Him.
Amen.
And He's going to increase, and we're going to decrease. And the reason for all this morning is that He might increase, and I might decrease. See, it ain't about me. It ain't about my vacation. Does He allow us to go home? Yes, but that ain't what it's about. It's not about our mansion. It's not about our cars or trucks or toys. It's about Jesus. It's not about our gardens and our yards and our flowers. It's about Jesus. It's not about our kids and our grandkids.
Amen.
Or our spouse. It's about Jesus. He must increase. I must decrease. Where is my example of prayer? Do you know that the last words of Jesus was praying? He prayed. He prayed. And you know, He didn't pray for Himself. He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. Simple thought this morning. Just a reason for it all. Now let me ask you, are you out of sorts? Are you out of whack? Be honest this morning. Now look at me. Be honest. Look right at me now. Are you living like you ought to be living? Are you? Are you living like you ought to be living? And you say, well, no, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know you ain't living like you ought to be living. Then what are you going to do? You just going to sit there? Or are you going to get right with the Lord? Well, just go ahead and get right with the Lord and go on and let Him increase and you decrease. Let's stand together. Now look at me now. Look at me. Are you living right or not? Are you living the way you ought to be living or not? If you ain't, why don't you fix it? Come on, let's say.
280.
You ain't living right, then fix it. Think about it. It ain't hard. It ain't hard. You ain't living right, then live right.
Just